The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, a lot of times when you hear about trafficking situations, they're making their victim feel like they have no value. But in my situation, he actually was saying, you do have value. It's what a man will pay for you. And so for me, it actually felt like a step up because I had believed I had no value. And then here he was saying, no, you do. You have value. These men will pay for you.
Holly Christine Hayes not only survived a life of trauma and abuse, but she now helps other victims of trafficking find healing. Next on Life Today.
Well, welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I can, with no exaggeration, tell you Life Today is a program of miracles. And most of the miracles come because of the God's love through you, the viewers. Betty and I spend our life really trying to get God's arms around a too often overlooked world and trying to inspire the church to become the arms of Jesus. Right now, we're trying to, with your help, rescue those who are trafficked. Sexual trafficking, terrible, real slavery. We have a guest today, Holly Christine Hayes, who was trafficked. The book is just fabulous. It's called From Basement to Sanctuary. She literally spent a lot of time in not only a basement, but basements, and been trafficked. I will just simply tell you this. She had multiple abortions, but now she's got a baby, and that has to be a miracle. And she's a very beautiful lady with a beautiful testimony, and she is setting the traffic free and teaching them Amen. A trade Amen. To make some of the most beautiful jewelry you'll ever see. And so we welcome you, Holly Christine Hayes.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Life Today.
Thank you for having me today.
All right. You are a radiant person.
Aw.
But you started being trafficked very young. But just tell us about how you even ended up in that situation. Give us a little bit of your journey.
Yeah, so I grew up in a sort of normal middle-class home in California. Did not grow up in a Christian home, but there was some sexual abuse in my childhood. And I think from that moment, that really imprinted on me. It was a trauma that I didn't know I was carrying, but it affected every choice I made from that moment on. And then as I got into my teen years, my parents went through a divorce. And so the combination of those two traumas really set me up for just desperately wanting to escape. And because I didn't know my value or my true identity, the ways I found to escape were in drugs and alcohol and in sexual promiscuity and really all the things the world tells you to escape into, right? Being a high school student, it was normal, I thought, to do the things I did. It was normal to go to the parties. It was normal to get into sexual behavior. And having that trauma, I didn't have a normal reaction to it. You know, for me, when I did those things, I took them to the extreme because I was so desperately trying to get out of my own head and so desperately trying to escape that pain. And so that spiraled downhill really quickly for me. By 15, I was drinking and using drugs every day. By 16, I had my first of 5 abortions and dropped out of high school. By 18, I was getting arrested all the time and ended up in multiple abusive relationships.
Were you arrested because you were doing drugs or selling drugs? Both?
I was actually never arrested for selling drugs, but I was selling drugs and had run-ins with the cops that actually helped me to kind of stop selling drugs. I got scared enough to stop. But I was engaged in those behaviors, even though I was never actually caught for them. If there's anybody watching now, though, you realize they're going to come after me now. But yeah, by 18, I was, in and out of jail and really living so far in the margins of life that I was being overlooked in a lot of ways. My parents had pulled out of my life, really making a decision to do some tough love and let me hit bottom. And at 19, I met my trafficker. And I thought he was going to be my savior. He was charming and he was charismatic and he had lived a life like mine and had a past like mine. And so he really understood me and he developed a very intense, very fast bond with me. And then very quickly, the relationship became violent. And
did he seem to have resources too?
He did,
yeah.
You
felt like there was some success there?
Yeah. And, and he seemed like he was better at life than I was. You know, here I was failing all over the place and he seemed to kind of have it all together. mother. And so I thought this was someone who could take care of me. And I was very attracted to that because I was at that point really not capable of taking care of myself. And very quickly I learned he had other women and that I was just going to have to accept that. And so that was a real heartbreak, but something about that competition actually put me in a headspace of wanting to please him and wanting to be his favorite, wanting him to choose me over the other women, and ultimately wanting him to take care of me. About a year into the relationship, he started suggesting that I was so valuable and didn't know how valuable I was. And, you know, a lot of times when you hear about trafficking situations, they're making their victim feel like they have no value. But in my situation, he actually was saying, you do have value. It's what a man will pay for you. And so for me, it actually felt like a step up because I had believed I had no value. And then here he was saying, no, you do. You have value. These men will pay for you and you're so special.
Was he trying to show you you would make money or was he just thinking about himself?
Well, at that point, yeah, I think, I mean, at that point he was presenting it like this is going to help you out. But I'd also, he'd encouraged me to stop paying rent on the apartment I was living in. So I'd gotten evicted from that apartment and he'd asked me to come live with him. So at that point I was living with him. He was paying for my food. He was keeping me high. He was taking care of all my basic needs. And so I didn't have a bank account. I didn't have identification. So at that point, really, like any money I made, I knew was going to be going into his hands because I had no way of actually handling money. I didn't have those, you know, I didn't have the bank account or the structure to even take money.
Well, but let me ask this question. When you're, I see where you are and you were attractive. And so he was using you, it's building his account. Did you know he was using the other girls the same way? It wasn't just you being trafficked. They were being too.
I actually didn't even know I was being trafficked. You know, at the time, first of all, this was 20 years ago. So this was all happening before there was really language around trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I was so confused and manipulated in that relationship that I thought he was my boyfriend and I thought he was helping me out. And I thought he was cheating on me with the other girls. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what was actually going on.
But was he trafficking them?
I actually don't know if he was trafficking the other women that were around at that time.
But he was making money off of you.
Yes. And mm-hmm. he later went on actually to build a massive trafficking ring between New York, Rome, and Puerto Rico. And so I know now today he has, you know, this was when it was in its infancy and now it's grown to, a full-blown operation.
Where do you get from basement to sanctuary? Give us an understanding of why that title is important to you.
Yeah, so on February 10th of 2001, this man had actually kicked me out because I stopped showing up for the jobs he was lining up for me. I hated it, and it was humiliating and awful, and so I kept getting drunk and high and not showing up. And so I ended up homeless, and I was on the floor of a public bathroom, and I was watching my tears hit the floor. And I just said three words. I said, God, help me. And I'd never believed in God. I didn't know any God people. I'd never seen this show. I had no idea who I was crying out to. But that very night, I ended up meeting someone who got me into a recovery program. And I've been safe and sober since that day. That'll be 20 years on the 11th.
So. You went actually to AA, correct?
Yeah. So and it was in the basement of a church. So this man actually took me to a church basement. And here, I thought a church would burn down if I walked in. but we were able to sneak in the back door and down a flight of stairs and into this sort of dark, dingy room. And I thought, this feels really comfortable. and the cement walls. And, some posters sort of haphazardly hung on the wall that had some clever sayings. And so I walked into that place and I was dirty. I had whiskey stains down the front of this blue sweater I'd been wearing for days. I knew I smelled. And yet every single person there smiled and welcomed me. And they pointed me to some stale Chips Ahoy in the corner. And they said I could eat as many as I wanted. And they told me to keep coming back and that I was welcome there. And at that point, I hadn't been welcomed anywhere in a really long time. And so I met the Spirit of God in this basement in that moment. And had no idea who it was, didn't know it was Jesus yet. but I knew that I had found that safe place. I knew I had found the hope I needed.
Could you tell that this love and acceptance that you received that night was different than what you thought it was before?
Absolutely. I mean, with the other guy. And I think the best thing about it was that I had been given it in the in the absolute pit of my darkest moment. I knew it had come so freely as a gift that I hadn't done anything to earn it or deserve it. I hadn't asked for it even, you know, other than that simple, God help me. And here I was just plucked out of the pit and given this opportunity for a whole new life.
That's great.
So your life was changed in California, right? All right, you're in Texas. How long have you been in Texas? Of course, this is kind of the promised land. At least it's an entry to it, okay?
Yeah. I spent several years in San Francisco, grew up there, and then moved to Paris, France, actually. So I was living in Paris, France, working for a church there. And then my husband and I started dating, and he was living in Austin, Texas. And so
we
met in San Francisco. So we met in a Bible study in San Francisco. I moved to Paris, he moved to Austin.
Okay.
And then he asked me out.
You stayed in touch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we stayed in touch. He sent me little gifts and cards in the mail, but he never asked me out. And then finally, I was back visiting San Francisco, and he was back at the exact same time. I was in town for a wedding. He was in town for a funeral. And he asked me out on a date, and we had one dinner together and completely fell in love in that dinner. And he started pursuing me, and he actually moved to Paris to pursue me.
Oh, wow.
But he was still working in Austin. So when we got married, we made the decision to move to Austin together.
All right. Now, let's go into how you got into setting people free.
Yeah.
You saw the horror of it.
Yeah.
You knew firsthand. You knew the pain. How in the world? Is this something you and your husband started doing? What do you call the ministry now? What do you call it?
Sanctuary Project.
All right, Sanctuary Project. And by the way, is the jewelry you have on your wrist,
yes.
Did they
yeah,
make that?
Everything.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I can only wear my jewelry because if I'm wearing anything else,
that's
people
beautiful.
Will ask.
So this is, and they make it like these, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
and everything. I don't think you can appreciate it.
It's
just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, and it's meant to inspire that feeling of sanctuary, yeah. Mm-hmm. the stained beautiful. Glass windows of old cathedrals. And
okay, tell us, where do you go to rescue the girls?
Well, so backing up a little bit and just how it started, you know, I spent a lot of years working and volunteering in the anti-trafficking world, doing really similar stuff to what you guys do in Southeast Asia. I was visiting ministries there, and there was an organization there in Thailand that was bringing the girls out of the brothels and then training them to make jewelry. And I saw this really beautiful community of women sitting together in a circle who all understood what they'd been through, and all day long they were making beautiful things. And they would finish a piece and hold it up, and the other girls would say, oh, it's so beautiful. And I could see this sense of self-esteem and joy and pride whelming up in them as they made beautiful things all day long. And I started to dream of doing this here in America, because the trafficking that we see here in America looks really different, but it's happening here. This is not an over there problem. This is happening everywhere. It's happening right here in all of our cities. And so when my husband and I got married and moved to Austin, I started looking for an anti-trafficking organization to volunteer with in Austin, and just to, you know, offer my story, my experience, my mentorship, and really couldn't find one. And so at that point, the Lord put it on my heart that it was time to build this place. So most of the time I'm meeting our girls through a mentorship relationship in our county jail, mm-hmm. and I make first contact with them there. A lot of times they've been arrested for prostitution, but it's actually a trafficking case. So we're able to advocate for them and help them maybe press charges against their trafficker or get their charges reduced or released, and then we're bringing them, hopefully getting them into safe housing, to a safe house in our community, and then we're bringing them in and training them to work for us.
I think this is just
awesome.
It's an answer to prayer. Thank you, God. If our viewers say, well, how do we find out about, maybe we know a girl that might need to learn what you're training,
yeah.
How's the best way for any of our viewers to contact or communicate with you, or at least find out firsthand how they could either be involved or help you do what you're doing, or they know somebody who needs help? Where do they go?
So you can visit our website at sanctuaryproject.com. You'll find all the information about us and the work we're doing and how to contact us. If there's someone in your life you know who's being trafficked, I think the first step would be to reach out to the human trafficking hotline so they can get all the resources they need. But please do reach out to us and let us know as well.
Well, we have that address there. You can see on the screen. The book is From Basement to Sanctuary. The sanctuary right now, you have a church there that's like a home church. Mm-hmm. It's in Dripping Springs. What do you call it?
King's Porch.
King's Porch. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it has that informal feeling. A lot of people feel like they're sitting in the Kingdom Porch when you come watch Life Today. All right, so obviously people might find out what you're doing, expand what you're doing. And let me just say this to you. The book you can get online, bookstores too, I'm sure, but we will gladly send it to you. We are giving away several books today because we're asking you to help us put God's arms around those who are trafficked and set them free. But you could also ask for the book. What do you want them to grasp when they go through your book? What do you want to happen to them when they read it?
I think the biggest thing I would hope for is that that those in the church would have a better understanding of how to come alongside women and men who are coming out of trauma and suffering. You know, that's one thing that those basement meetings did so well was just wrap their arms around me with the love of Christ. And sometimes in the church, we want to look like we have it all together. And we don't always know how to walk alongside those who are hurting and broken and coming out of trauma. And so I hope it can be a bit of a training manual in that for those who maybe haven't walked through trauma. And if you have walked through trauma, I hope it can be an inspirational story. I hope it can be something that you can look to and say, you know, I might be here right now, but I am believing that I can be here.
Well, you know, you've really got the glory of God on you, Holly. And Father, I just pray for Holly and this ministry. I pray for the crafts they're doing with the beautiful jewelry. And Lord, these young women and these people who've been trampled down, they are beautiful jewels. Mm-hmm. And Holly has become a gem in your Kingdom for kingdom purpose. So you bless them beyond measure. In Jesus' name. Let me just talk to our viewers a minute and just say, now there again, if you want to communicate with Holly in any way, support her. We could very easily send her a gift here. We do that all the time. When we see something effective, we encourage you. Let me make sure you understand this. James and Betty are kingdom witnesses all the time everywhere. God has given us access, and really, in my instance, let's say it's rather unique, Betty. Mm-hmm. He's given me access to people that most people could never talk to. National leaders, church leaders, business leaders, people so often overlooked, and yet God's given me access. Now, what you need to understand is you're the reason that I'm able to go delivering the good news, the gospel. How in the world are they going to believe in whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear unless someone tells them, preaches, shares, the witness? But the bottom line, don't miss this, how shall they go unless they're sent?
That's right.
You have sent us as a messenger of the Lord around the world to deliver the good news of the gospel, not just in word, but in demonstration. That's what we're doing right here. We've shared Sheila Walsh with you for a long time. She's been coming here way before she came to be a part of Life Outreach full time. Well, you're going to hear the heart of God through her, just like every time you see her. Thank you for the way you love her, encourage her, pray for her, pray for our son Randy, all of our staff and missionaries. Listen to what Sheila shares. But then know this. You are the answer to the concern she points out, the miracle that is needed. Watch closely.
There's a little trick that's helped me through some of my darkest days in the field with Life Outreach International. I smile. I smile not to trivialize the unimaginable despair of those who are suffering, but to remind everyone, including myself, that a little kindness can bring some light to a dark world. And it can be such a dark world. The sexual abuse of children has been industrialized and brought to scale in what I believe to be one of the starkest examples of demonic activity on Earth today. I asked her, "Who do you have who is caring for you?" She has no one. She started out trying to sell cookies, and she couldn't make enough to live on. So she ended up having to sell her own body. Now, I am no stranger to the plight of a desperate soul, But the young women I've spoken with, young children, have left a mark on my life that will stay with me forever. This precious girl was begging for money on the streets when she was first abducted. At the age of 9, her captors raped her and forced her to sleep with up to 4 men a night. It's horrific to think of the unspeakable torment that children face, and I'm grateful when they survive it. But survival is a far cry from healing. God has given you and me the sacred power to help reach, rescue, and restore a precious life from the evils of human trafficking. Right now, the choice of whether to exercise that power is ours to make.
Well, you just want to take that precious little girl in your arms and just love her. And that's what we do with Rescue Life. It's what Holly has been doing with the rescue and really, you know, restoring by teaching a trade and making jewelry. Betty, didn't you just want to take that little girl and imagine somebody wanting to take those children and then that little girl getting trafficked when she's just trying to make a living? I don't know when you saw the translation and the words up, that all she wanted was a, you know, a home, a place to sleep and some food. And that's what we're doing with Rescue Life. We're giving them a miracle that little girl said she's longing for.
And she said, I hated to go out at night when I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be taken advantage of. I'm going to be thrown aside like a piece of meat, James. There's no easy way to say it. And then yet all she wanted was something to eat. And this is a little 9-year-old girl and a safe place. Well, honey, we have that place for you. With our Friends of Life Outreach, we want to show you that safe place. We want to give you food to eat, and we want to nurture you and give your heart and bring healing to your heart and mind.
And that is exactly what we've been able to do. When I say we, that we, it's you. Betty and I faithfully give to every outreach we have. We actually pray many times, Lord, I pray we can give as much as is possible to give by anybody. But of course, we can't do what some of you do. Just like the wonderful people that so believe in this outreach that they put up a matching gift of $320,000. Now that's, I don't care who you are. And that small group of people said, we so believe in this outreach. We so want to rescue these precious girls, precious children. And that's what we do. We reach them, we rescue them, we restore them. Just as Holly Christine does, teaching a trade. It's beautiful. Would you right now, please, would you reach out and say, we're going to rescue one of them? The average is $128 per person. It'll be doubled. 128 will now rescue two. $64 will be matched in rescue one. I don't know what level you can come in at, but I'm praying every single one of you watching would be moved by the Spirit of God to put God's arms of love around someone that's been trafficked like a slave. We can totally set them free, give them a new future all over the world, and yes, right here in the States. Please, we have some gifts to send to you that'll bless you. One of them, the great story of God's refuge as a journal, and then the incredible nutrition, the cure that comes from the various oils and so forth that we use, and Jordan Rubin has done a great job. Please, go get your bank card right now, would you? Go online or dial that number and make the gift God puts on your heart, knowing it'll be doubled. Thank you so much for doing it. Praise God for His love through you.
Human trafficking is one of the world's darkest sources of criminal activity and money. As a result, children and young people are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators into a never-ending nightmare. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at the risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. with a generous $320,000 matching gift. Now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated and essential book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation, a valuable reference with biblical insight to help you live your best life. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Jesus My Refuge Journal and Pen Set, filled with scriptures reminding you of God's covering in times of need. You'll also be reminded to pray for those seeking refuge from the horrors of human trafficking. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
How do we deliver people who are in the hand of the wicked? It's us. It's God's people. So I'm asking you to partner with us. You may never go to these countries, but when you give to this cause, you are partnering with us to get children and women out of the hand of the wicked. This is a tremendous opportunity that you have to partner with Rescue Life and make a massive difference, massive impact in the lives of women and children who are crying out for help. And God is looking upon us to be His hand and to be His feet. When you partner with us, you'll be helping us rescue hundreds and hundreds and more. Would you ask the Lord what He would have you to do and give the best give today?
Thank you so much. Let me just say, this beautiful jewelry is on Holly's website. If you get some of the jewelry, it actually helps sponsor some of those you're reaching out to.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, 100% of the profits actually go into our job training and employment program. And every single person we employ at Sanctuary Project is a survivor of trafficking, violence, and addiction.
Thank you, God.
It's just incredible. Not just the girls making the jewelry, but the women in our operations department, our program manager, our social media manager, every single level.
And I promise you, you are going to be a part of what Holly's doing. Thank you so much. Thanks for the love of God you allow to flow so freely through you. Glad you watch life today. Glad you share life today.
Your life for kingdom purpose.
And I've never had that kind of relationship. To me, it was, okay, you do what's right. You obey or I will get you.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.